Is the name of the Lord. Okay, I kind of felt like the Lord wanted me to speak to you this morning, and I'll give you the title to my sermon here in a second. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I come into your presence right now. I ask you, Lord, to have your way, and Father, just pour yourself through me, Lord, for nothing I say can do anything for anybody. But just one word spoken from your mouth can change a life, can heal a body, can straighten someone's life completely up. And Father, I just ask you that by your Spirit, you just move and have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title to my sermon today is Faith Which Worketh by Love. And I'm going to start off and I'm going to do a little reading here. And this is out of the New Living Translation of the Bible. And it's starting with verse 1 in Ephesians 4. It says, I therefore, the prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Yes. And I want you to know, everyone sitting out there, you didn't choose God. He chose you. He called you. Because Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father draw him. Yes. And the Father was drawing you when you came. And you didn't come because all of a sudden you came to the realization that you should give your life to the Lord. You came because His Spirit began to deal with your heart and begin to draw you. And it says, I always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. You know, in this day and age, especially and what's went on out here in the political situation for last 18 months or whatever it's been, there's been a lot of hateful things said all the way around. You know what I mean? And it's time for us to put all that away and forget about all that and start making allowances for people in their faults. And if you think somebody's in a fault, pray for them. Love them. Don't let animosities and things rise up in your heart. Because those things will do nothing but just eat away at the inside of you. But just, you know, I like that. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. And you know why? Because He first loved you. He loved you when you were very, very unlovable. And you're still unlovable big part of the time. But He still loves you anyway. You know, I like Margaret. We were down in Tennessee, and my niece's two, she has two little kids, and one's 8 and one's 4, and they were a little unruly. And Margaret is good with kids, and she knows how to get them in line. She does. I mean, she's really good at it. And, you know, we kind of was observing all this stuff, and we kind of were talking to Margaret's sister and to my niece some. And my niece is in the process of getting a divorce right now. And, you know, she was kind of in an abusive situation. But anyway, these kids were pretty unruly. And it was kind of funny because we were there for a couple days. And it was time for the oldest boy to go to school in the morning. And he wouldn't get up in the morning. I mean, they just had the awfulest time of getting him out of the bed, you know, in the morning. And he had been late for school a bunch of different times. And they actually had sent a letter home and said, you know, you need to take care of this because he's being late too many times, you know. And I noticed one evening, Margaret was sitting in the kitchen with my niece. And they were talking. And I couldn't really hear what they were saying because I was in the other room with my brother-in-law. And when we got ready to go to bed, me and Margaret were talking, and I asked her, I said, well, what was you and my niece talking about? And she told me. She says, I was telling her how to straighten up the situation. And you know what? My niece took her advice, and my sister-in-law told me the next day, she says, I don't know what happened. She says, but the little boy came running upstairs in the morning, ready to go, and he was just raring to go, you know. And Margaret had told me, she says, You have to be the boss. You have to tell him you're the boss, not him. And you have to begin to assert yourself and let him know where the authority lies and all this and that. And they were starting to turn around in one day. But Margaret told her, she says, you have to be consistent. You can't one time tell them not to do something and then don't follow up on it. And then the next time let them do it after you tell them not to do something, you know. But the big thing is that if you love someone, you love them enough to correct them. Because I'm telling you what, if you don't correct people when they're totally out of line, you know what happens? They get worse and worse and worse. And what does Scripture talk about? Spare a rod and send a child basically sold to hell because, you know, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. And a lot of you guys say, well, Lord, I've been getting chastened a lot lately. Things ain't going my way. A lot of things are happening. He loves you so much. He loves you when that happens, you know. But anyway, I'm going to read that to you again. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other, others' faults, because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. And there is one body and one Spirit, as you are called, and one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all, in all. Wait a minute, you mean even in the person that hasn't received them? In all. Let me read that again. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you've been called, and one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all, in all, and living through all. I like that. However, he has given to each of us special gifts through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that he says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lower world. And the same who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. And I got news for you. He does fill the entire universe. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers. And a lot of people say, well, why is it necessary for me to come to church? I mean, you know, you are the church. You are the ecclesia. The church means ecclesia. It means called out ones. You are the church. But why is it important for you to come here and gather together? It's important because these ministries, these fivefold ministries, are here to build you up. And there's a reason that they're building you up. And you say, well, Brother Oscar, is it to make me feel good when I go out the door? No. Is it to tell me how great I am? Well, in God's eyes, you are great, but you're only great because of him, not because of you. But I'm going to read you the rest of this. It says, however, he has given to each one of us special gifts through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scripture says, he that ascended to the heights has led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice he says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended into our lowly world. And the same who descended is the one who ascended high than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. Who's supposed to be doing the work? Who? All of you. Not me. All you. Look at all these empty seats in here. You think I can fill these seats? Guess who can? You can. How many of you invited anybody to come to church with you today? When was the last time you invited somebody to come to church? Think about it. Okay. And I'm not just saying to bring them to church, but I'm saying in everything that you do, when we stand up here, whoever God has up here ministering, we're building you up that you can go out and do the work of the ministry. Now, a lot of people say, well, bless God, I thought that was the preacher's job. No, the preacher's job is to build you up so that you can go out and do the work of the ministry. That's a little bit different than what you hear from most people, you know, but that's what the word says. Okay, and it says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come into the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part goes in its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Praise God. You know, we were talking about back there in Sunday school about in the Old Testament when they built the temple, it said that there wasn't to be the sound of a hammer in the building site. And, you know what that means? That means that when the stones were brought to the building site and the timbers were brought to the building site, and everything was brought to the building site, they were already formed and ready to fit right exactly where they were supposed to fit without any work being done on them to make them fit. Now, a lot of you say, well, bless God, what does that mean, Oscar? I'll tell you what that means. That means that next door neighbor that is aggravating the life out of you, he is a master builder that God put there to chip away at you. That dog that goes on your lawn and you get all upset because the people don't pick it up, God sent that master builder to bring his dog down and let him go on your lawn. The little kid who put a big key scrape down the side of your car, God sent them. You say, oh, Oscar, now I don't know about all that. That was probably the devil sent them. You know what? I can read you a scripture back in the Old Testament where God said he created the smith to blow on the coals. You know what happens when you blow on the coals? They get hotter. It ignites a fire. And I'm going to tell you what, the things that go contrary to what you think they should go, that's just God allowing the smith to blow on the coals a little bit. And what's he trying to do? He's trying to ignite a fire in you. You know, Scripture tells us that our God is a consuming fire, and he makes his ministers a flame of fire. Now, I just told you who the ministers are. It's not me. It's you. You're the ministers. I'm only up here to try to encourage you to go out and do the work of the ministry that God's called you to do. And you say, well, Oscar, I don't even know what God's called me to do. Have you ever asked him? Have you ever asked him, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Will you send somebody across my path today that I can minister a word of life or give them an encouragement or help them or do something for them? I'm going to tell you what, When Margaret was sitting in there talking at the table to my niece, guess what? She was doing the work of the Lord. She wasn't preaching a sermon out of the gospel. She was being a sermon to that person. She was the living word. She was telling them knowledge that she's gained over a lot of years with dealing with children on how to correct them and correct them in the right way. And I'm telling you what, if my niece follows through on the things that she told her, those children will change. They'll be different. She used to babysit people, and she babysitted school teachers' kids and different people. And I'm going to tell you what, all those kids just loved her to death, because kids need boundaries. They need to know where they stand. They need to feel secure in what they can and can't do, and how things go. You know, Galatians said that we were put under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, you know. And little kids especially, they need boundaries. They need correction. They need to be straightened up a little bit. That doesn't always mean just knocking them over the head or anything. But they'll feel secure and they'll feel loved. And I'm telling you, even when we used to live at our other house, when we lived on the street and those kids were little, sometimes they'd come and like slide down our hill on our grass and tear our grass up. Well, Margaret got there and she'd straighten them up. But you know what? She didn't do it in a hateful way, but she did it in a way that she'd tell them, no, this is not acceptable. You can't do this. You know, when we would come in and pull in and park the car and she'd get out of the car, all those kids would start hollering, "Hi, Margaret. Hi, Margaret. How you doing?" You know, and you'd think, they didn't say hi to me. They said hi to her. I didn't get on them. She did. But you know what? They loved. They saw the authority, but they also saw the love. They saw that she cared about them. And those school teachers would actually, when they had the second baby, they actually almost begged her to watch them, because she taught them kids how to behave. She taught them little things, little songs and little things, you know, to help educate them. And she was really great. And we go in a restaurant and sit down, and I'm telling you, if there's any little kids around, within a few minutes, they're making faces at each other, and she's built up a rapport with them within a couple of minutes, because she knows that's part of what God has called her to do, you know. And I'm going to tell you, begin to ask the Lord. Some of us, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you guys aren't doing what God's called you to do. But what I'm saying is, you're the ministers. You're who he's sending out into the world every day to minister to people. Ask him each day, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And I'm going to tell you, remember the gist of my sermon was faith, which worketh by what? Love. Okay. I'm going to tell you this little story. There was a preacher, and he announced his subject. And the announcement to his subject was the 11th commandment. Now, you tell a lot of people that, and they're going to say, "Whoa, wait a minute. There's only 10 of them things. Where are you getting that 11th one at?" And some thought him dangerous to attempt a postscript to a time-honored, inclusive 10 commandments. Then he read his text, and it was out of John 13, 34, and 35. He said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, also love one another. By this shall men know that you're my disciples, if you have loved one another." You want people to know that you're disciples? Start showing them some love. Do some things for them you don't want to do. Treat them good when they treat you bad. Be decent to people, even when they're not decent to you. And that's hard to do sometimes. I'm going to read you another scripture here. This is Galatians 5, 1 through 6, and this is out of the Message Bible. I like some of these different translations because they bring things out in a real good way. And I love the King James Bible, but I also like some of these other translations. And it says, "Christ has set us free to live a free life." So, and you know what? You're free. You're not under the handwriting of ordinances. You know, I mean, under the handwriting of ordinances, if you didn't follow the exact ordinances, Scripture said if you offended in the law into one point, you were guilty of it all. Now think about that. That meant that if you took something that didn't belong to you, and if you killed somebody, you were guilty of death. You were really guilty of death if you took something that didn't belong to you. And that's the way a lot of the religions around the world work today. They cut people's hands off. They cut their feet off. They cut their head off if they offend in anything. You've been set free. You don't have to worry about those things. All you have to do is just love the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me do today? And just follow the leading of His Holy Spirit. Christ has set us free to live a life of freedom. So take your stand. Never again let anyone harness you or enslave you. I'm emphatic about this. The moment any one of you submits to circumcision or any other rule-keeping system, at the same moment Christ's hard work one gift of freedom is squandered. I repeat my warning. The person who accepts the ways of circumcision trades all the advantages of free life in Christ for the obligations of the slave life of law. And just in case somebody hears this that don't understand about circumcision, I'm not saying that it's bad for you to be circumcised in the natural. I mean, they do that to babies when they're born. But circumcision was given to the Jews that they started doing that on the eighth day after a baby was born. And that was a type that they were going to be under the law for their whole existence. So he's saying here, you don't have to be under the law anymore. Jesus took the handwriting of ordinances that were against you and he nailed them to the tree, Scripture tells us. And it says, I suspect you would never intend this, but this is what happens. When you attempt to live by your religious plans and projects, you are cut off from Christ. You fall out of grace. Meanwhile, we expectantly wait for a satisfying relationship with the Spirit. For in Christ, neither our most conscientious religion or disregard of religion amounts to anything. What matters is something far more interior. And I like it says interior, because that means it has to go on the inside. Faith expressed by love. And that's, in King James it says, faith that worketh by love. And I got news for you. You can say you got all the faith in the world. You can say you got faith to remove mountains. You got faith that you can make it snow on one side of the building and not on the other side of the building. But if it isn't functioning out of the love of God, it's no good. It has to function out of the love of God. You know, the Lord gave me a working definition for the word faith, and I've shared this before. The working definition he gave me is faith is believing in the truthfulness of God, the truth of the truthfulness of God. And you say, well, why you say that, Oscar? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You know, when God spoke to Abraham and he told him, get up and get out to a country that I'll show you. Now, if God said to you today, get up and get out to a place that I'll show you, I wonder how many would be willing to get up and start moving. Or you'd step back and say, wait a minute, you better show me first. I need to know every turn I'm going to make. I need to know everything that I'm going to do. I got news for you. When God starts moving in the realms of faith, if you love Him, you're going to move whenever He tells you to move. You're going to move when you don't know what you're doing. You don't know where you're going. You know, I love the situation with Lily when she was, how old was Lily when she went to Africa? 65 years old. That sort of sounds almost like Abraham, don't it? God told her to go to Africa. And what did He tell her? Give all of her stuff away? Give all your stuff away? That's pretty tough. He didn't tell her what she was going to be doing when she got over there exactly. But you know what? She was obedient and she went. And what did God do? He created a ministry over there. And I got news for you. Sometimes God's going to tell you to go to McDonald's and sit at McDonald's for a couple hours. Don't be surprised if he starts doing that. And you sit there and say, Lord, what do you want me here for? And all of a sudden, somebody come over and start talking to you. Start telling you their life story. And you begin to start praying for them. Maybe you lead them to the Lord. Maybe you have the answer for them. Maybe you prophesy to them. Maybe you do whatever God wants you to do. I'm telling you what, folks. We're about ready to start moving into a greater realm than we've ever moved into before. And it used to be God only did this with certain people. But I got news for you. He's not going to do it through only certain people. He's going to do it through his body. Through his body. You're the ministers, not Brother Oscar. Brother Oscar is just somebody that God has stand up here and tell you the things I feel like I'm supposed to tell you. When Jim comes up here, it's same with him. When Rich, whoever happens to be up here. And if you'll notice, I ask a lot of different people to speak. And you know what I'm trying to do when I do that? I'm trying to help them develop to the point where they can do it freely and not feel and realize that they can do it. If you can't do it here, it's going to be pretty hard to do it out there. You know, Clyde and I went and did a funeral one time for one of the sisters that used to sit in the back of a church. I don't think I heard that sister say a half a dozen words in all the time that she was in church. You remember that, Clyde? I mean, you actually did the funeral. I went as support, shared a poem, I think, and prayed and different things. But you should have seen the amount of people that showed up for her funeral. And you should have heard the testimonies. They said that she wouldn't, she'd ride the bus every day. They said she'd get on the bus and she'd sit down next to somebody. And before you know it, she was sharing about the love of God with them. And for long, they struck up a big conversation. And she had a large, large impact on a lot of people. But her sitting in the back row at church most of the time, you never would have known that. Never would have known that. But I want you to know, folks, you're the ministers. You're the ministers. Even if God just sends one person your way, minister to that person as the Holy Spirit leads you to do it. And I'm not telling you to jump out ahead of that, but I'm telling you, let faith work by love. Let your motivation be that I love this person, and God, what would you have me say or what would you have me do? Even if somebody starts telling you their problems, I have that happen pretty often. I've went in Frisch's before and sat down, and Margaret would get up and she'd be going to the bathroom or something, and I'd have some old guy or something sitting over there, and next thing you know, he's telling me his whole life story. And I didn't even start talking to him. Well, you know what? Then you begin to just pray for that person, and you begin to minister to him however God would have you do it. But faith is believing in the truth or the truthfulness of God. And the word worketh, faith worketh by love. The word worketh there means it means energies. It means to be efficient, to be effectual, to be fervent, to be mighty, to show forth yourself. And when you show forth yourself, you show forth yourself through the anointing and the Spirit of God. And the real self, the real hidden man of the heart, that's the real you. This outer man, that's not the real you. That's the temporal man, you know. And when it says by, and that's a word that denotes a channel or an act. You know what a channel is? Something that directs something in a direction. You know, there's a channel out there running down the side of this building. It's a gully. And guess what? Every time it rains, guess what it does? It directs all that water right into where it's supposed to go. You know, if not, it'd all be in here when we come in here on Sunday morning when it rained. And the word love is a word, it's not the word agape, it's the word agapeo, and it means affection or benevolence. And the plural of it is the word agape, which means love feast or of charity. And dear love and, you know, lovable charity. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, it says, and I've read this a lot during you know, during weddings, and you know, when you tell people this is what love really is, you know, you can't love like this unless God allows you. Because this, you know, but you have to ask God, let me be an expression of your love. And I believe he'll let you start loving like this. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, keeps no records of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustices, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Oh, God, cause us to be an expression of your love. And that's what will happen if we are the expression. Okay, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, and this is out of the Message. God wants us to grow up to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. That's the whole truth. Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us, so that we will grow up healthy in God and robust in his love. I like that. You know, I'm going to tell you another little story here, and I'm not going to talk to you too much longer. It says, in the days of the American Revolutionary War, okay, and this is a true story, there lived in Pennsylvania a plain Baptist pastor, Peter Miller, who enjoyed the friendship of General Washington. There also dwelt in that town one Michael Whitman. Whitman, an evil-minded man, who did all his power to abuse and oppose the pastor. He was a mean dude. But Michael Whitman was involved in treason and was arrested and sentenced to death. The old preacher started out on foot and walked the whole 70 miles to Philadelphia that he might plead for the man's life. This was his enemy. He was admitted to Washington's presence and begged for the life of the traitor. "No, Peter," said Washington, "I cannot grant you the life of your friend." "My friend," exclaimed the preacher, "he's my bitterest enemy." "What?" cried Washington. "You have walked 70 miles to save the life of an enemy?" "That puts the matter in a different light. I will grant you his pardon." Think about that. And he did. And Peter Miller took Michael Whitman from the very shadows of death back to his own home. But he went no longer as an enemy, but as a friend. Wow. That's powerful. That's a true story. The Apostle John, when he would get up every day and preach, even when he was old, and it is said that the old Apostle John insisted on being with his congregation in Ephesus for every meeting. When he was too old to talk, the people would carry him, or to walk, the people would carry him, and he would always insist on addressing the assembly before it dispersed. The assembly loved his sermons more than bread. What was his message? It was quite simple. Little children, love one another. The first time the weakened old man could say no more, and the audience was powerfully moved. And this one sentence message remained the same. Later, the congregation began to consider his words insipid. Finally, someone asked him, "But Master, why do you always say the same thing?" John replied, "Because it is the Lord's command. Because this done, if it is followed, is sufficient and adequate." Love of God, folks, that's what it's all about. I'm going to share a poem with you, and I've shared this poem before, but this poem is Faith, Hope, and Love, but it deals with that. Faith is the founding factor where we learn the benefits of his love. As we learn to be obedient, then we will truly rise above. Our problems and our heartaches will seem to vanish away, as his hope will keep us reaching until the dawning of the day. For hope looks not with the eyes, but truly with the heart, and even with the anticipation and pleasure that he can only impart. For hope will make us well-pleasing in all that we say and do. As we grow through maturity, his love will spring anew and bring us to the completion of that of a full-aged man, and we will truly be an expression of his love throughout his eternal plan. And you know, that's what God wants us to be, an expression of his love. And I'm going to tell you what, love is not something you feel. It's something you do. There's a doing to love. You know, I love the honesty of Margaret. I mean, I really do. She's really honest sometimes, and she's bluntly honest at times. But I really love it, because when our kids, or even little kids that she was watching, would be really acting up, she'd get them and she'd scold them and she'd tell them, you know, I don't like you very much right now, she'd say, but I love you, she'd tell them. And you know what? Nobody likes to be felt like they aren't liked very much, but everybody wants to know that they're loved. And I tell you what, love is the thing that's going to change the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but they might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm going to tell you what, folks. Go forth today out of the assembly with a renewed determination that you're the ministers of God. If you're a teacher at school, show the kids the love of God. Show them the mercy of God. But also show them the correction, because they need it. They need that too. If you're in business, that person that gives you the roughest time in business or the hardest time, that's the one that Scripture says a soft answer turns away wrath. And so many times, if we'll just be, when they have a problem, if you'll be the one that goes and helps them when everybody else turns their back on them, what a testimony that'll be for Christ. But I just want you to know, you're all ministers of God. And I want to see the body of Christ grow up. I tell you what, years ago I used to pray, oh God, make me a son of God, make me a son of God, when I saw the sonship message when I first got saved. And I'm going to tell you, he changed my prayer after a while, because he began to show me that in the Old Testament, when they came up to the promised land, it said the priests would lift up the Ark of the Covenant and put it on their shoulders, and they would step down into the brink of the water and stand there and watch everybody go past them. That's not an easy thing to do sometimes. To prefer people above yourself, to want to see them do better than even to see something that maybe you've been desiring to see for a lot of years, to want to see them go beyond you. That's real love. And I'll tell you what, God began to deal with me about that. He said, and my prayer changed from God, make me a son of God, to God, let me do whatever I can do to help the body of Christ grow up, because creation will not be set free until we come into the glorious liberty of being the children of God, the sons of God. Creation is groaning and travailing, waiting to see the sons of God come forth. And I'll tell you what, you all are going to be part of the ministry that's going to bring it forth. And like I say, whatever God does with me is fine, one way or the other. But I'm going to tell you, I'm willing to step down into the brink of the water and not watch other people go past me. I'm going to tell you, this church is unique in the sense that, and I'm not saying this to get a pat on the back or anything, but this church is unique in the sense that we open up the pulpit to you all. And you know, I've had ministers who've come in here and visited say to me, oh, brother, they asked me how this church operates, and I've told them. And they've said, oh, man, you better be careful. You better be careful. You don't know what you're doing. Letting the people get up there? Yeah, I know exactly what I'm doing. This thing belongs to God. It don't belong to me. And I want to see all of you grow up to the fullness of everything God has for you. And I'll be standing back rooting for you all the way. And that's why I've had people who've said that they were going to leave this church. You know, I just tell them, do whatever God tells you to do. I don't try to beg them to stay. I'm not going to try to beg anybody to stay here. You know, I want all of you all to fulfill whatever promises and vision God has given you. And I'll do everything I can to try to help you do it if I can. But I want you to know that you are his ministers. You are his body. You are his ambassadors. You are his word out there. Some people that you come in contact might never come in contact with the Lord if it isn't for you. But I tell you what, he knows exactly where he's going to send you. He knows exactly what he's going to do with you. And if you're not sure about it, begin to ask him. And whatever he tells you to do, just do it. And, you know, you'll fulfill his purposes and his plan for your life. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. I don't know, Cynthia, if you have a song or anything to close with. You don't? Okay. You guys remember the old song, Little by Little He's Changing Me? Let's sing that song. I'll try to lead you in it. I'm not the greatest leader in the world. Little by little he's changing me, line upon line he's changing me, precept by precept until I am free. Jesus my Lord is changing me. And you know what, folks, he is. And I'm telling you what, go forth this week and just do whatever God tells you. Be bold. If he tells you to do something, if you feel like he's telling you to do something and you feel uncomfortable doing it, that's probably him telling you to do it. He makes you do uncomfortable stuff sometimes. And, you know, if you don't try the Spirit and see if it's of God, you'll never know if that's what God was telling you. And a lot of times he won't even let you see the results of what he does. But I'll tell you, he'll use you mightily. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you, Lord, to just take this little simple word that I shared here today, Father, and help us all to know that your faith has to work by love. And Father, you are the love, and you're the one that has to let us be an expression of your love. And Father, we know how much you've loved us because you gave everything for us. Jesus came and he poured out his life for us that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And Father, I just ask you to help the body of Christ grow up and help us be an encouragement and a strength to them as it happens. And we'll be most careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor for everything that you do. By your lovely name we pray. Amen. In Jesus' name. Praise God. God bless.